Welcome to class session 201 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And you know now, it's time to go get your Bibles if you want to follow along this lesson. And turn to Luke chapter 16. We are in the middle of a study of the rich man and Lazarus, found in the latter part of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And I'll be reading from that in just a moment, and we'll pick up where our study had left off at the last class session. But while you're getting your Bible to Luke chapter 16, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and then Sunday evening we return for worship at the end of the day at 6 p.m., and on Wednesday evening we have a Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday of January 28, 1923. And someone might say, why are you reading those old Sunday school lessons? It's because the truth that is taught in those old lessons are just as true now as it was then, because that's the very nature of truth. And many people think they are very wise with all their modern studies, but there's so much good work that was done in the past that I thought it would be good to turn to the past and see how they used to teach Bible in Sunday school. And so these are the notes of E.A. Elam, Elam's notes. And these are the notes on the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Let me read the first few verses of that story to catch us up. We begin in Luke 16 in verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and in fine linen, bearing sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Here we learn something in this story about Hades. Hades being that unseen realm of the dead. And there is a place in Hades where a man will be in torments. And there's another place called Abraham's bosom. And while there's much speculation about what exactly that means, I think of Abraham's embrace. Think of Abraham embracing his poor suffering child, his poor suffering Lazarus, as he leaves this world and enters into the next where Abraham is. And there he falls and is embraced to Abraham's chest or Abraham's bosom in comfort, while that rich man that fell sumptuously every day is now in a place of torments. In looking at these notes, we read that it does not relieve the anguish of the disobedient to say this is figurative language, because a figure is only used to intensify the fact, and Jesus does not exaggerate this suffering. How terrible then must be the fact of which burning in fire and brimstone is but a figure. The identity and conscious existence of this rich man were preserved. He knew who he was. He remembered his earthly life, his father's family, his five brothers, and he recognized Abraham and Lazarus. So all after death in the future world will know themselves and others. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 16, we read, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." He cried unto Abraham for mercy, calling him Father Abraham. He was a fleshly descendant of Abraham. On earth he had no mercy for Lazarus and refused him personal attention. Now he pleads for Lazarus to come and serve him, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. The man's character has not changed. He was selfish on earth and is so yet. He seeks in hell his own comfort. Cool my tongue. So did he on earth. We read in verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and Lazarus, like his manner, evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish." Abraham kindly addresses him as son. The rich man's good things were the wealth and pleasure he enjoyed on earth. He gave up no comfort and made no sacrifices for others. Thus he saved his life, spared himself all trouble, pain, and self-denial, and lost his soul. The evil things which Lazarus received were his poverty and sore afflictions, but in them all he was true and obedient to God and saved his soul. In this statement, Abraham shows the rich man that his punishment is just and that he brought it all on himself by his abuse of God-given means and opportunities. Men, like Judas, go to their own places. They go where their earthly life and character has fitted them to dwell. God's judgment is righteous. We read in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, "The times of ignorance God therefore overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." We read again in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "Wherefore art thou without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. And thou that judgest doth practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon the soul of every man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God." And so we read about this death of this rich man, and we learn that we have no chance after death. Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 26. Abraham says, "Besides all this, between us and you There's a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. Besides this just and righteous punishment, Abraham explains by the great gulf fixed that there's no passing from one of these places to the other. When a man is once in perdition, he is there forever. There's no passing into the righteous region of the lost, another chance to have another chance for them. This destroys the idea of another chance, that is, a chance after death to be saved. In verses 26 and 27, or let me rather read 27 and 28 of Luke chapter 16, we read that Lazarus said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. The rich man in hell knew better than this. And seeing there was no hope of relief for himself, he prayed Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house to warn his five brothers not to come to that place of torment. Note that he calls it every time a place of torment. His prayer was first for himself, then for his five brothers. But even in hell, he thinks of and prays for no other sinners. His character has not changed and never will. He that is unrighteous, let him do unrighteousness still. And he that is filthy, let him be made filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him do righteousness still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. Revelation 22 and verse 11. This man knew that without repentance his brothers would soon follow him. It may be that others in hell would send back words of warning to their friends if they could. The rich man thought if Lazarus would return and warn his brothers, they would surely repent. But here we are going to see a lesson on the all-sufficiency of God's Word. In Luke chapter 16:29, we read, But Abraham saith, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. All that Lazarus and all that other good men had was Moses and the prophets. Besides all that Lazarus and all the other good men learned from Moses and the prophets, he might have learned and his brothers could learn yet, if they would, so let them hear. That is all they need, and that is all they will get. The rich man had sinned because he would not hear them. God has given all the testimony that is necessary. Jesus says the Jews rejected him because they did not believe Moses. In John 5, verse 39 through 47, he said, Ye have not this word abiding in you, for whom he sent, him ye believe not. Ye search the scriptures, because ye think that in them ye have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. But ye will not come unto me, that ye may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, will you receive him? How can you believe who receive glory one of another, and the glory that cometh from the only one of God you seek not? Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, on whom ye have set your hope. For if ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And so, these men had Moses and the prophets. They had all they needed to know what to do to prepare for eternity, and they did not prepare. And that is what we need. We need to know what the Bible says. Don't expect someone else to come up from the dead and tell you to get ready for eternity. You need to get ready based on what you know now. We'll continue this in the next class session.